Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for all that He's doing in these days. Our God loves us. His love is very determined. He wants to win every soul possible. These are the end times, and the Lord must come back. He's coming back on time. I don't know when, but He said the day is set. He told me that about a year and a half, 2 years ago. He said the day is set. It's not going to be delayed this time. I don't know when it's going to be. Don't know the day and hour, but I know it's set. But I thank Him that He has a plan. Many people on earth have heard the gospel. All people on earth have not heard the gospel. The Lord sent the gospel, but everybody don't carry the gospel like they should. Some people won't go forward. Some people stick with their traditions and they're limited in their ministry. They can't do as much as they could if they just yield to the Holy Spirit and do what He say do. For every person that has a heart to do it God's way, the enemy comes with distractions through others. Suggestive distractions, you know, He give them temptations and different mindsets, opinions that hinder them from doing their purpose. And the world loves the world. And the world will try to protect the world from the gospel. And that's the logic of the world. If you walk up on a basketball game in a park somewhere and start teaching the gospel, some people will be interested, and the ones that won't be interested will try to laugh and hinder the process, because the friends that love the world don't want their friends that love the world to love God. So when the gospel is preached, you can tell that it's right, because Adam ate off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Every man that's in his right mind knows the difference between good and evil. But when people don't want the gospel, they try to find something wrong with it. When they don't want to believe on Jesus, you can tell it's right. Everybody can tell it's right, but they don't want to believe because they don't want to change. They want to live aside from God's word. Now, in 2 Timothy, we show, you know, 2 Timothy expresses this, and it shows us how the condition. These are facts, and if you don't believe what God say about facts, then you won't be prepared to deal with the facts. The Word of God gives us facts, and we have to deal with the facts. And if we don't deal with the facts, then we won't deal. we won't do our business, our purpose. In 2 Timothy 4 it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He added long-suffering because people are contrary. You have to be long-suffering with them. You have to be able to deal with something negative. And you have to love the person beyond that negativity. That's what long-suffering does. Verse 3 says, for the time will come, watch this, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. This is what Apostle Paul was telling Apostle Timothy. You know, he was preparing him for the ministry so he could take up where he left off, so he could do God's work. Now, If that was not necessary, Paul wouldn't have told him something such as that. It was very necessary. Now, everything has a beginning. You can trace some mischief all the way back to many centuries prior. In Ezekiel's day, the Lord put on my heart to cover some things in chapter 8 of Ezekiel. And I sometimes when I'm talking about what preachers do and how they did things and how they didn't follow God, I'm not trying to dishonor them, but these are facts that the Lord had me to deal with. And nobody dealt with them. And he prepared me to deal with this. He let me see it from a young minister's point of view. I didn't even know that that was a problem. But the Lord would give me revelation, and then he'd give them revelation. And when, you know, he would give me a word, usually talking about following God precisely, beyond the confines of tradition, beyond the confines of human expectation, beyond what people are already understand. It would have been greater. In fact, this is how they did it from the beginning. See, the traditions have replaced some things that God started with, even some things Jesus taught. But the Lord, he was teaching me about doing what Jesus did in the first place. This should not have been new revelation. Following God should be an elementary standard. But he said the biggest problem in the world is people don't follow me. So if you don't follow him, you're going to fall into some traps out there. And the biggest trap is do things the way you see fit. You know, if you read the Judges in Michael's day, they didn't have a king. They just did what was good in their own eyes, just like the preachers do today. Now think about this for a moment. Jesus already died. He arose for our justification. If anybody wants to be in the kingdom of God, if you preach what Jesus did for them and they understand it, all they got to do is believe it by their faith. They don't have to go and buy 2 turtle doves if they're poor and sacrifice it so their sins will be covered. And if they're rich, they don't have to get their best cows and sheep and goats and go and sacrifice them at the temple anymore. So their sins will be covered. Not only is our sins covered, our sins are destroyed. They are gone. And if we happen to sin again, Jesus is our high priest to plead our case before Father, God, and the Holy Spirit will guide us in all truth and help us do better. Show us the road to repent. He will show you how to hate the sin that had you. Now, all this has happened. Jesus did the good part. He did the heavy lifting. It's our responsibility to build on the foundation that he laid. And if we're going to build, the Holy Spirit is right there with us in every Christian to guide us into all truth so that we can do precisely what God wants them to do. And it's beyond what people see and it's beyond what people expect. But the reason people don't do it is because their focus is not on him. It's on what they think will work. And my message was not received among great men of God. And and these were good preachers. Miracles were done at their hands. You know, I've seen good miracles happen through these wonderful men of God. I was married back then, and we didn't have children. And one pastor laid hands on all the women that wanted to have children, and we started having children. I got 3 children. Miracles were done, real miracles, but people would not budge to follow God. They wouldn't yield. They wouldn't yield themselves to obey everything God wanted them to do. Because think about it: when the Lord gives you something to do, you got to first believe it, and you got to receive it. And then you have to act on it. And in order to act on it, you got to speak it. That's just the way it is. Some revelation is harder to receive than others if you have wrong information, if you've been taught wrong, and if you've been, you know, the mentors you've had never said it. And Christian people are very particular about what they'll receive. That's why there's so many types of churches. There's only one Jesus. There's only one Holy Spirit. There's only one Father God. There's only one Bible, but people interpret it all kind of ways. But a false interpretation is not anointed. And it'll never be anointed. The only thing that's anointed is the true meaning of God's word. And that's why the Holy Spirit will guide us in all truth. God gives us his very best, and he deserves our best. Some things that we need to be acting on, we're just going, as the Lord reveals us a need, we have to believe him and act on it. And we have to receive the new information more than the old bad information. You know, bad information can never be anointed. God can't use it. But there are so many different types of ministries and ministers that if you're a Methodist or a Baptist or a Presbyterian, everybody got their own little styles and pet doctrines. But when you study the Word of God and just believe what God said in the first place, the Holy Spirit will guide you around the things that other people thought were right. I've seen Christians say different things. I said, well, everything that people are saying is not true. And I said, but if I'm going to do this, this is something I decided when I first got saved. I said, if I'm going to follow God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to give it my best. I'm going to do it the way God wants me to do it. And then when he called me to the ministry, I said, well, if I got to preach, I'm going to preach what God reveals. It's too important. Did you know that the priests used to tie bells at the end of their garments? And nobody could go in the most holy place without dying. So they would tie a rope to his ankle. And then he had bells on his garments. So when he go in the most holy place to represent the people, if he wasn't right with God, he'd die. So if the bell stopped ringing, they knew that he was dead. So they get the rope and pull him out of there. All right, now we don't do that anymore. That's not necessary now. We have the Holy Spirit. And if we'll just pay some attention to the Holy Spirit, he'll guide us correctly. And all the things we believe is wrong is wasting our time and hindering our purpose. And it causes the same problems to be reproduced. People preach things that they should have moved on from. And I think it's safe to say every denomination is guilty of it. Not just the ones that I don't favor, which I love all of them, but even the ones I favor. Pentecostal people, Holiness people, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Catholic, Word of Faith, everybody have something that they believe wrong. But when you follow God and pay attention to the Holy Spirit, he will help you get corrected where you're wrong. Now, all of this stuff is traceable. You can trace things people did from a long way off. Back in Ezekiel's day in chapter 8, now watch what the Lord had to do. The things that the Lord showed Ezekiel is similar to what he showed me, but with him, it was sin. With me, he was showing me people were trapped in ideologies. And they couldn't get all the juice out of their ministry because of what they believed that was wrong. And I couldn't go and tell them because it's too much. You have to follow God to get out of that. It'll take the Lord. If I would have tried to tell them specific things, it wouldn't have worked because they would have had scripture. They would have used scripture to refute everything I said. And some of them was better at speaking. I wouldn't have been able to convince them, and that wasn't my job. But the Holy Spirit would have been. If they would have known, if they would have yielded, they would have went further along. but they chose otherwise for whatever reason. Now, it's not by might nor by spirit, but by my it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And that's the way we conquer. That's the way we win. In chapter 8 it says, and it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house, the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness of appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward fire, and from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of an hand, and took me by a lock of mine head, and lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of God of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Now, the elders of Judah sat before him, and then he went into a vision. Now watch what God said. Verse 5. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. And these were idols that he saw. Verse 6. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, and abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jaazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he to me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? Now this is what he was seeing, their imagination. For they say, The Lord seeth us not, the Lord has forsaken the earth. Now this is what that they thought. He said also unto me, Turn ye thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz, another false god, idol. Verse 15. Then said he to me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshipped the sun toward the east. Verse 17. Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen this? Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence, and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. They're hiding their darkness. Verse 18. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Now this is what the Lord revealed to the prophet. He showed them the evil of the priest. And they did evil before the Lord from their heart. Even the women, he showed them their imaginations. And they went and sat before Ezekiel like they were good with God. He took him by the lock of his hair. It was hard for Ezekiel to believe this. Because when people, they put on their best face, they put on their Sunday face. But when they do evil, God knows it. And God is in a position where he has to do something about it. Whether they got a Sunday face or not. Jesus said, many will come to me saying, in my name, saying, Lord, Lord. And he's going to turn and say, I never knew you. You work iniquity. It's the same thing. How many preachers are in adulterous relationship? How many church members are having adulterous affairs? Now God's got to deal with this. What about the ones that lust after women from their heart and they won't repent? How many people are looking at pornography? Beside all that, just loving the world. God's got to deal with it. It will not go to heaven. You can't bring your sin to heaven with you. You're either going to detach yourself from it or you'll be consumed by it. And if you sin, you're going to serve sin. If you, there are ways to deal with the problem. Everybody need to go on YouTube and watch what happened with the Ugandan pastor. He broke it down. The Lord said, if I had come to get my bride, in other words, if he had come for the rapture before he showed him what happened, he said, I would have left you. Many people are going to be left here in the end times. They know all about the false prophet. They know all about by revelation. They study it, and they still won't repent from their sins. And they do nothing about their secret sins. And even beyond all that, we can do so much more if we obey the love of God. If we obey the Holy Spirit, he will help us win souls and get people out of the ditch they've gotten themselves in. Ministry is so easy if you do it God's way, if you build with him. But first you got to get an agreement with him. Jesus was telling the truth when he said, if a man looks on a woman that lusts after him in his heart, then he's already committed fornication. He did no act, but he did no different. And I don't like for Satan to hinder the church like he do. I don't like to see him get one over on any of God's people. God loved these people. In verse 2, he said, then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward, fire, and from his loins even upward. It's like the Lord had such a hatred for their sin. He saw fire in his bosom. And he saw it he was so frustrated with the deeds of the people. He loved the people, but their deeds were not made. God is so angry because of their betrayal. Does he love them? Yes. But they disqualified themselves from living in his kingdom. And he's angry because now the very people he loved, he got to judge. He will judge you. God can be very dangerous. And people say, well, you don't have to fear the Lord. Sometimes people are just too gracey. Now, God loves you. He gave us grace. He gave us a lot of things we don't deserve and can't earn. He loves us every which way you look at it. He gave us his grace. Now, why trample on it? Don't think just because God loves you that you have a free pass. He gonna let you live like the devil, rapture you and leave the devil here. He loved Lucifer. Lucifer hate God, but God is so great. He loved those that that betray him. But he did something about it. Lucifer can't go to heaven. In the days of Revelation, he's going to be limited. He won't be able to go and have access into the heavens anymore. When Adam's lease runs up, then so does Lucifer's. And in the middle of the tribulation, he's going to be subject to the earth. He will not have any more. He won't be able to go and meet God like he did in Job's day. He won't be able to come around the sons of God. Him and all his tribe will be here bothering people. I love God and I love his people. So if I warn people, they can live. Now, God loves everybody. He cares about his people. And he's going to do what he has to do. In Ezekiel chapter 9, Ezekiel in verse 1, Ezekiel said, "He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have the charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men from the way of the high gate which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand, and one man among them clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from me, was gone up from the chair whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side." Now these were six angels, and the one that looked like a man, that had the writer's inkhorn, looked like a man, he was also an angel. Verse 4, "And the Lord said unto him," the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side, verse 4, "And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after them, after him, through the city, and smite," which means kill. "Let not your eyes spare, neither have pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary." Then they began at the ancient men, which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house, and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city is full of perverseness. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for also in mine, and as for me also, mine ass shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou had commanded me. See, the people who were crying for the sins of Israel were spared. The angel that looked like a man with the linen and the inkhorn by his side, he put a mark on everybody that was crying out for the sins of the country, sins of Jerusalem. And the Lord spared them, but all the rest of them ended up dead, because the six angels killed them, took them out, because God had to protect the covenant. It was too many of them, they would have been a threat. Because Jesus had to come. The Lord had to do surgery. Now, there's no need to. Everybody just got to believe on Jesus. He's not going to do surgery like that. But he will leave that behind here. when it's time for the, when the rapture comes, he's going to leave all the people that love the world here. There's nothing to be confused about it. Just like the those people that did wrong and loved idols and thought God left the earth and didn't see what they were doing, they died. But everybody in the world, see, he's got to judge the world because he's a just God. Everybody that rejected Jesus and did things according to the world, they're gonna suffer. They're gonna be judged with the world. Now, the people that didn't know better will be able to repent. The people that take the mark of the beast, they're doomed. They can't get saved. And don't think that I believe the people that are lukewarm will be the first in line to get the mark of the beast, because you can't tell them nothing. They won't repent, they won't listen, they'll argue, and the Lord gonna give them over to their own mindset. That's what it means when it says that he's gonna spit them out. And I fear God. I love people. God loves these people too. But I'm not gonna try to get to use the grace of God to do people wrong. That's not gonna happen. I love God and I love his people. And I want to see people in their best state. But the key is following the Holy Spirit. Only he can show you things that hinder you. In St. John chapter 15, it talks about him purging what the fruit, the branches in him that don't bear fruit. And he can get rid of the dead branches so that you can do things according to life. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you, God.